fun to hide away from these games. And though I'd never fit with you, I still liked what you do, and so you came.
Hello and welcome to the Anonymous Audio Netcast. This week we are broadcasting live from the Hackers on Planet Earth Conference in New York City. Currently I'm Adam Cartwright. Anonymous Audio is your weekly dose of intelligent discussion about privacy, or the lack of, in our digital world. This week's episode is all about Level 2 and becoming invisible, so get your tinfoil hats, it's time for Anonymous Audio. So, hello Hope. We are at the Hackers on Planet Earth Conference, New York City. This is the last day of the conference. We're getting everything over with here. For the Radio Statler listeners, this is the Anonymous Audio podcast. And basically, Anonymous Audio is where you can learn how to remain anonymous online and to the rest of the world. Your information is your information, so learn how to keep it that way. My co-host Joe couldn't make it to New York City, but we do have him on the phone. Joe, you there? It's going great. So, we're here at Hope. It's awesome. Everything's been going great. And we want to thank Radio Statler for letting us broadcast live. For our Anonymous Audio listeners that don't know what Hope is, you really need to check that out. And it's held every other year here in New York City at the Hotel Pennsylvania. And I will say it is absolutely the best hacker conference I go to, the only one that I'm really, really into. So, anyway, we're going to take it, get going here. Basically, today's topic is Level 2 of identifying and cleaning up your data mining presence. And just to explain that a little bit, basically Anonymous Audio, we do a bi-monthly podcast, netcast, whatever you want to call it, and we talk about ways to decrease the amount of information that's available about you. Kind of make yourself invisible, kind of make yourself anonymous. And every netcast that we do, we talk about basically 10 different levels of making yourself invisible. Now, just as a little recap for our Radio Statler listeners, last netcast we did was basically on level one, which was doing a self-background check. It was basically finding out everything that's available publicly to you about yourself. And a lot of this stuff it's not things that anyone could find out about you, but private investigators could obviously find out, and the businesses that sell your data and buy and trade your data could find out. So we went over about 30 sites. Which, by the way, every time we mention a website on Anonymous Audio, it's on our website, anonymousaudio.com. There's a link section, and we'll put direct links to everything you need to know. So level one was basically we went through 30 sites or so that gave you a bunch of information about yourself, such as your employment report, the data mining companies that are storing information on you, tenant services. Every time you go to rent somewhere, there's databases created about you. Your insurance reports, your medical records, your prescription reports, your utility reports. I could go on and on, but go check out the last episode, and it'll basically walk you through exactly what we talked about. So step one was, let's just find out what all is out there about you. That, again, people are buying and selling about you. Advertisers are marketing information towards you based on that information. So we looked at all that, And now we want to get into level two, which is let's try to start removing this information. And you're not going to remove everything right away. It's going to take quite a bit of effort to get yourself completely invisible, but it is possible, and we will walk you through how to do that. So why do you want to get your information removed? Well, obviously the first reason, this data is collected and sold about you on a daily basis to third-party marketers, people that are trying to sell you things, you know, insurance companies, whatever, they're buying this information. Your target marketed by that, and your habits are analyzed. And a lot of that analysis really doesn't come back to your name, but basically your buying habits are analyzed, and then your target marketed. And I think Joe has a couple other areas that are important about why you want to get this information removed. Absolutely. So the next thing we're going to start talking about, we're actually going to run through, I have, I don't know, maybe 100 websites that I use, and I have direct links of how you can get out and opt out of that information, or opt out of those databases, get your information out of that. But I want to make a couple notes about these links. So we're going to run through all kinds of ways you can opt out and take your name out of these databases, but a couple notes here. The first, there are different ways that these databases update themselves. Some companies will update their database daily. Some update their database monthly. So there is no standard. So if you go today and take a couple hours and take yourself out of all these databases, you will not be out of all of them today. You will not be out of all of them in 30 days. You may not be out of all of them in 6 months. They're all a little different. So keep that in mind. There's no standard here, but by doing it today, it will get you out of them quicker. Joe, you got any other information about that? Yeah, that's correct. And but one big thing, by taking your name out of these, they will possibly stop selling that and stop spreading that information on and on. So the more databases you can get out of, the less you will be present in the various databases resold and resold and resold. It's kind of like if you when you buy a new car, you'll notice that after 3 years, you will start getting all kinds of offers for extended warranties and things like that. And they'll come from third-party companies that have nothing to do with the place you bought your car. Because you're on that database, and the date you bought that car is in that database. So by removing this information, let's say you buy a car from Ford, you're going to be on Ford's database forever. But by getting the certain information out of their databases, you won't be passed on to the third-party suppliers. So let's jump right into it. Fortunately for us, our audience is very tech-savvy. I don't have to go through each one of these links and explain to you how to fill out a web page or fill out a form or send in a fax. So I'm just going to kind of run through some of them, and I'm going to kind of break them up as well. The first thing I'm going to talk about are data brokers. And these are probably some of the most important databases to get your information removed from. So, and I'm talking about things like Intellius and Melissa Data, PeopleSearch, you know, different phone records. I'll run through them. But data brokers collect as much information as they can. And by the way, I'm being told that the person on the phone's not coming over on the audio, so if we can kind of check on that. So basically, data brokers, and because I'm being told that the Joe isn't coming through, I want to just kind of summarize a couple things he said real quick. When we talked about why to get your data removed, he was talking about data breaches. And we're talking about data breaches where maybe a malicious person, not a hacker, because hackers are good people, a malicious person breaks into a database and steals all your data, or steals all their data, and your data's in there. Another thing Joe brought up was equipment theft. How many times do we see these different news broadcasts that talk about laptops being stolen from a Starbucks or laptops being left in an airport? Those laptops contain sensitive information, and Joe brought up a good point that apparently the audience couldn't hear, that he's been notified himself that his card's been compromised, or his data's been compromised from a stolen laptop. So, anyway, we talked about that, and also Joe made the point that these databases do not necessarily remove the information from their database, but they add a code stating that this option, that this data is no longer to be shared, or that this person's requested to be left out of this. So this doesn't eliminate them from using your data for analysis purposes. Your data is still there. It's just one more piece of the puzzle. So they're still going to look at your data. They're still going to get statistics from you, but your name won't be out there anymore. So data brokers, we have links to several, including, I'm just going to run this list real quick, Ameridex, Bin Verified, Email Finder, InfoPay, Intellius, Intellius White Pages, Locate People, Locate Plus, Melissa Data, Merlin Information Services, People Finders, People Lookup, People Search Pro, Phone Detective, PhoneNumber.com, Private Eye, Public Background Checks, Public Records Now, USA People Search, US Search, Veromi, Westlaw, and Zava. My listeners, I'm sorry to run through all those, but we wanted to list all of them. We have direct links on the website. Click on them. We provided a direct link to the opt-out page for each one of these data brokers. And when you go to one of these data brokers' home pages, they do not have a big yellow flashing banner that says, click here to opt out of our information. It does not happen like that. They embed these pages to where they're hard to find. They usually are not visible through search engines. So we've some of them we found, many of them we've stolen the links from other blog posts. So I apologize. I don't have my exact sources of who originally put these up, but I'm sure a lot of people have stolen these. So props to whoever initially did some of this mad work to find all this information. So some of these, you'll just fill out a form online. You'll say, hey, I want to opt out. Here's my basic information, and they will take that information out. Some of them, being told that audio is completely down. So some of them will make you fax in a form, and we'll talk later about how to do a free fax. If you don't have a fax machine, you can do that online. So many of them will have you fill out a form. Some of them will have you fill out a fax. Some of them will make you send snail mail to them, and we'll talk about that later as well. So the next section we want to talk about is direct advertisers, marketers, others, things like that. These are companies such as Abacus and Axiom and Catalog Choice, things like that, Choice Point, Choice Trust. These are people that make tons and tons of money on selling your data to other people. We're having audio difficulties. Bear with me. Okay, so we're trying this again. We're having some audio difficulties out in the production room, but so right now I'm jumping into direct advertisers, marketers, etc., like Abacus, Axiom. So basically, these people collect information about you, your interests. And last night I watched the 3.5-hour session by Steve Rombaum, and we're basically the. He went through about how we are no longer private whatsoever. Everything about us is being broadcast to the world, no matter if you like it or not. It's a kind of a depressing, look at the state of where things are. But it just backed up even more about why all this stuff is important, and why doing everything you can to eliminate your presence online in these databases is important. So, the direct advertisers, marketers. Again, they collect information. Let's say you buy Cat Fancy magazine. Well, they know you like cats. Let's say that you buy a golfing magazine and you know you like to golf and you like cats. They monitor things like that and they sell that to people. I gave the example earlier, you buy a car and 3 years later you start getting notices that you can either extend your warranty or come trade that car in, because the fact that you bought that car has been sold to probably hundreds of databases and that information is kept on you. So the direct advertisers and marketing section, which there's probably about 25 sites in there, I'm not going to read through them all because that's getting redundant. Click those links, take yourself out of that information, and get out of those databases. And it will take a little while, but when it goes through, you'll stop getting getting all that information sent back to you. But anyway, these include like DMA Choice. That's a big one. DMA Choice is basically the people that control all of the magazine subscriptions and what you get, what you don't get, the junk mail you get, the junk mail you don't get. What I like to do at DMA Choice is... they have an option. You can go in and you can request magazines and request to be taken off magazine lists. And from my experience, simply going in there and saying, take me off of every junk mail magazine list at all, was not very effective. But when I went on there and said, just give me this one, and I picked something completely random that I really have no interest in, the next thing I knew, I was maybe getting some junk mail for that one thing, but everything else started to go down. So my recommendation is go to DMA Choice. Pick out something that you have absolutely no interest in whatsoever and something pretty random that probably doesn't have a lot of advertising that goes with it. Sign up for that and say, I don't want anything else. And I found that to be pretty good. Another thing in this section is LexisNexis. And at the end, I'm going to get into that. But basically, just so you know about LexisNexis, they are basically buying up all of the online databases with your information in them. So LexisNexis is basically going out and just gobbling up everything, kind of like Google's doing, so that they have complete unlimited data on you. And last night in the Privacy is Dead presentation, Steve Rombaum actually showed a list of hundreds of companies that have now sold their databases and have been bought up by LexisNexis. So at the end of this, I'm going to actually focus on one technique, we'll call it a technique, that you can actually get off of LexisNexis's public and private database. So that should be some pretty good stuff. Anyway, there's some more on there. Another one I recommend, opt-out pre-screen. This is basically where you can stop all pre-approved credit offers from coming to your door. And this does two things. The first thing it does is it keeps you from getting all the junk mail from credit cards saying you're pre-approved, get this loan, all that kind of stuff. And those things can be stolen from your mailbox. So if you have a bunch of credit card offers coming in and you're not home, thieves can take that, get a credit card in your name or something like that. So opt-out pre-screen says, stop sending me pre-approved credit offers. Now, there's a catch to that. Let's say that 10 years ago you had a Macy's credit card that you've since deleted. Macy's can keep contacting you because you have an existing relationship with them now. So if you have an existing relationship, they don't have to stop. But let's say you've never had an American Express card. American Express must take you out of the system, must stop sending you offers, and must stop doing pre-approved credit inquiries on your credit account to see if you qualify. So that's in there, Velasquez and things like that. And I'm going to hand it over to Joe right now. I'm hoping that we got our audio problems fixed. Joe's going to talk to us a little bit about deleting your entire social networking accounts, which is actually the only part of this presentation where we're going to talk about things that you've put in yourself and that isn't someone else's fault. But Joe, you want to talk to us a little bit about how to delete their social networking accounts?
Yeah. Am I coming through now? Do we know?
Hey, IRC room. Is Joe coming through now? Hey, IRC room. Is Joe coming through now?
Hello, IRC.
There's one guy typing really slowly in IRC right now. Okay, it says you're coming through, so take it away, Joe.
All right. Okay, well, we got two excellent sites for reference when it comes to deleting your social networking accounts. One of the most fun is the Web 2.0 suicide machine. Very dramatic rendering of how to kill your online identity. They've got a few websites there. Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And basically what it does is you select your social network, go ahead, commit suicide with it, and it opens up a Flash app, and it actually walks through the steps automatically, and you just sit and watch it happen, of it going through and deleting the account you selected. So it's a lot of, it actually makes quitting your social networking kind of fun, because you get to sit and watch it all happen, and it's very dramatic the way they decide to do it. If you're on a social network other than one of those, or don't trust this Web 2.0 suicide machine for whatever reason, there's another excellent website called Delete Your Account. And I believe they're at deleteyouraccount.com. And they just maintain a list of all the major social networking sites. They've got a, you know, kind of an A through Z category. Select, you just go to the list, find the site you want to quit, and they'll give you the instructions and any of the necessary links to go through and go ahead and quit your social network. And so that's an excellent reference as well.
So it's fair to say that the proper way to delete a Facebook account is not just to go in and say, hey, I want to delete my account, shut it down. Any idea what happens when you do that, and what is the proper way to delete that Facebook account?
Yeah, Facebook, most of these sites, and especially Facebook, like to give you a huge guilt trip about quitting your site and how you won't be able to contact all your friends, which is just ridiculous. But Facebook actually has two options. Facebook, they'll try their darndest to convince you to go ahead and deactivate your account, which is basically like deleting your account, except they just take it offline. Nobody can search it. You don't get any messages from it. But all your data is still retained. And you can log back in and reactivate your account if you change your mind. There's a separate link. There's actually a Delete Your Account page that DeleteYourAccount.com actually has for you, where you can officially delete your account and remove your information. Whether Facebook actually throws your data away, I seriously doubt it, but you won't be able to log back in. You'll have to go in and start everything over from scratch again if you decide to go back.
Yeah, and again, on this presentation, we're focusing mostly on things that you have no control of, people that are going to be collecting your data without your permission. But like Joe said, with the social networking accounts, it's really important, I think, to get that data off of there, because I already know that LexisNexis and Intellius are scraping both MySpace and Facebook on a daily basis for all information to be stored, including pictures and things like that. So if you do, say you delete your Facebook account completely, Intellius is still going to have a copy of that, and they can still put that in their public search databases and their private search databases. So I know that our audience already knows you don't go out and announce everything about yourself on Twitter or Facebook, but for the people that are doing that, you should probably stop and do what you can, do some damage control, and start to get that information taken off as soon as you can. So yeah, those sites are great. We'll have links to them on our website, anonymousaudio.com, which will get you directly where you need to go. At least clean them up. And the only thing I do want to say about the online stuff, I don't care if it's public or private or an instant message or if it's something you think that only one other person's seen. It's not the case. Now, the public may not be seeing that, but I guarantee you anything you post in Facebook is being collected by Facebook. Any email you create in Gmail is probably, you know, it's recorded, it's analyzed somewhere. If you just look at your inbox when you're reading an email in Gmail, you'll notice that they have advertisement based on your keywords. So, like Steve said last night in his three-hour session, everything that you're giving to these people is going to be collected and analyzed about you. So be cautious of that. So that's just our quick spiel on social networking. Most of you already know that out there, but we really couldn't do this section without at least mentioning that. What I want to talk now is about directories, and if you go online, you'll know that you can find any home address, public or private, any phone number, especially landlines, pretty easily. There's a handful of online directories which will be happy to give you that information. Well, what most people will do is simply go to Google and put in a name or an address or a phone number, and Google will do some cross-referencing and see, oh yeah, we know that person, here's a map to his house, things like that. I don't like that. I don't like my information being that way. So one of the best links I can provide at this point is the Google Phone Book Removal Tool. which we'll have a link online called Google Phone Book, where you can tell Google, I don't want you to broadcast this information. And most people that maybe aren't extremely tech savvy, they're simply going to go to Google to try to find information for an address or a phone number. If that fails, they may or may not go further. And next week's episode, we actually talk about 120 different websites that will give you personal information about people online. So if Google doesn't give you something, there's many more places to go. But we've compiled a list of the directories that not only store your information and offer it to people, but it will also sell it to other people. So basically, sites like 411.com, Google Phone Book, Lycos, People Finder, things like that, these sites will actually sell your information to other companies, and they'll list that in their database. So you'll see a lot of these online phone directory sites, and I mean, you can probably find hundreds of them now. They're not all using separate databases. They're stealing from one another. They're sharing information between the others. So 411.com, Anywho, DA Plus, Phone Cart, Google Phone Book, InfoUSA, and InfoSpace are some great ones that we have links directly to, where you can say, take me out of your database. I don't want my information listed. They do not require any kind of subpoena or any kind of affidavit, and we're going to get into that in the second half of the show. They'll just take you out. And Joe, you have a few more that you can opt out that we have direct links to, if you can mention those.
Yeah, sure. I would also add to that list, we've got Lycos, there's People Finder, PhoneNumber.com, Reverse Phone Detective, SuperPages.com, Switchboard, White Pages, Inc., and PQ.
Yeah, and PQ, which that one's at pq.com/privacy, that one, PQ actually goes through all the social networking sites and scrapes your information and offers that based on a name-only search. So if I search my name in PQ, it will give me not only telephone and address information, it will give me social network information. So right now, PQ is really coming up in the scene of online marketing, and I recommend you get out of that database. So again, at anonymousaudio.com, we have links to all these websites that you can go in. When I first did this, I think it took me 2 hours to get through all of them, which is a pain, but I'm kind of a geek about this stuff, so I thought it was well worth it. So now let's move into a little bit about social network data aggregators. So maybe you've had some social networking information out there, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, Friendster. Does anybody use Friendster anymore? You may have had some stuff out there in the past, and by now it's been scraped up, and it's been collected by social network data aggregators. So places like 123people.com and Pipple.com, they are grabbing all this information, sucking it up. And one of my favorite sites to go to when I'm looking for information on a person is PIPL.com. And I'm always amazed at how much data it instantly gives me about a person. So it's not even doing a live search on the person. That information is stored about that person. So we have links to 123people, iSearch, PQ, Pipple, Radaris, and Spock.com, which is actually part of Intellius. And those links will basically take you to a page where you can say, I want my information left out, and I want to opt out of these databases. And they will do it. It takes some time. In my experience, it took anywhere from 30 to 45 days to where I could no longer find myself, basically. And Joe has a little bit of news about Spokio. Joe, if you want to discuss that a minute.
Yeah, Spokio Inc. is another one that you get a lot of interesting data from it. And Spokio used to be a free service, where now is when you go there and do a search, you get a nice little taste of information. And if you want more, then they decide to start charging you. And the charge ranges from $3 to $5 a month, depending on what kind of plan you're getting, if you're getting an extended plan or not. But they do have a huge amount of data, and that's another one you definitely want to get yourself off of. They're one of those scary ones.
Yeah, so Spokio, when you basically... You know, there's been so many reports about how Spokio is so scary and dangerous. Well, just about everything I've found on Spokio, I could also find on 123people and Pipple, but Spokio does have a lot of information. So a lot of people go there and they do their little free search and they say, well, this information is completely off about me. This isn't even accurate. It's because you're using the free version and they're trying to get you to buy into their for sale version. So I have experienced the full version of Spokio and the unlimited version, which basically shocked me at how much it grabbed. So Spokio.com/privacy. It has information about how to get taken out of their databases. And just a couple more to discuss, Wink.com and ZoomInfo.com. ZoomInfo is kind of getting outdated, but one thing I've always found ZoomInfo.com to be great for is to find someone's unlisted address. Just about every unlisted address that I couldn't find at 411.com, I could go to ZoomInfo and get that information. So ZoomInfo.com/unsubscribe will get you to their opt-out page. And again, a lot of these will give you a form online you can do. A lot of them say you have to write into us. Some say you have to email us. And that gets kind of, I like to caution people as well, because now they have your email address. So if I'm going to email in to ZoomInfo and ask them to take me out of their information, I'm probably not going to use my primary email address. I'm probably going to use a secondary account or maybe an anonymous account. But one thing to keep in mind too, these people do not send you any kind of notification. They don't reply to you with email or anything like that. So if you do use a fake email address that you'll never check again, like a Gorilla Mail address, doesn't hurt anything because they're not going to write you back anyway. So that's another option as well. So Joe's going to talk a little bit about opting out of telemarketers. So Joe, if you want to discuss that a minute.
Yeah. For opting out of telemarketers, most people have heard of the best tool for that, and of course is the National Do Not Call Registry, which you can easily find at donotcall.gov. It's a government-run site. It's run by the Federal Trade Commission. And basically, if you sign up for this site, you can do up to 3 phone numbers at a time. All you need to do is give them the 3 phone numbers and an email address, and that goes into a giant database. And all telemarketers, not only in the United States, but any telemarketers, whether they're calling from outside the country to U.S. citizens, they all are required by law to update this database every 31 days. So within 31 days, if you do, if you register with us, you should see a significant drop in your telemarketer calls. And if for some reason you are still getting telemarketer calls, there are a few exceptions. Namely, if charities, political organizations, or a company you've previously done business with. So if it's somebody ordered it, like if you're ordering for a late night TV show thing and they decide to call you back and offer you more stuff, well, unfortunately you get more business with them. You are allowed to request directly to them. If they call you, you can still say, please add me to your not call list. And then at that point, they're not allowed to call you anymore. However, if they do not fall under one of those categories, you can file an official complaint with the FTC, and they will forward that on to appropriate law enforcement, and hopefully that action gets taken if they are in a severe violation there.
Interesting stuff. I know that I took my number off the Do Not Call, and I would say almost, it was pretty quick. I stopped getting some calls, and now I'm to the point, the only calls I get are companies that I've had previous interactions with. And another thing I recommend, chances are most of our listeners probably don't even have a landline. Most people go with just a cell phone only, and I recommend using Google Voice numbers. I have about 5 or 6 of them, spread them out. I recommend changing your cell phone number. Once you get to about level 4 or 5 of our How to Be Invisible series, you're going to probably end up changing that number anyway and going with something else. And fortunate for us, changing a cell phone number, porting the number over, takes absolutely no effort, and it's very cheap, if not free. So good information about telemarketers. And next, we want to talk about reducing unsolicited mail offers. And I got just 2 links. The catalog choices and the opt-out services. These are 2 organizations where you can get your name taken off the unsolicited mail options. And really, this isn't so much going to invade your privacy, it's just annoy you, because if you look at all those value packs that you get all the time in the mail, they might just say to a resident, but it's still your address. Some of those higher dollar coupons, like say you use a coupon to get towards a car or towards a home carpet cleaning, those have barcodes on them and they come back to your address. And when you use them and they take those coupons, that's actually put into a database that you utilized that coupon for that service at that address. And so I don't like to receive these unsolicited mail offers. I go to these sites and I opt out and have them taken off. And that also relates to the opting out of online advertising. We have four links there, basically Network Advertising Initiative, Google's DoubleClick, Microsoft Advertising, and one that Joe's going to talk about. But these will basically let you opt out of the online advertising that might be stealing your data, and especially the Google DoubleClick. And Joe, you want to discuss real quickly about the Google Analytics opt-out extension, because I found that pretty fascinating.
Yeah, anybody who runs a website is probably using Google Analytics to keep track of track down their visitors and see what kind of ratings they're getting, so to speak. Some people may not like that. Google, they claim to be very respectful of your privacy, so they've offered a Google Analytics opt-out extension. It's available for IE, Firefox, and Chrome, and if you run that extension onto on your browser, anytime you visit a site running Google Analytics, you won't be counted towards towards the Google Analytics count, essentially opting out. It's nice that Google makes that publicly available, and if that's something you watch out for, then it's probably a good thing. Google Analytics, though they mark your site, I don't believe there's no personal data. They just are pretty much hitting count and browser hits and general location. They're not doing a lot of cataloging as they are with the DoubleClick. One other thing I would like to mention about the Microsoft advertising opt-out, I did notice on the website, if you read the fine print, unlike Google, if you opt out, they do stop collecting data. Microsoft, however, they simply just stop sending you targeted ads. The opt-out clearly states that they will still collect data and use it for their personal, use it for their internal analytics and marketing.
And just a note about Google Analytics. So I just pulled up the anonymous audio analytics. We do use Google Analytics because we like to see how people are getting to us, where they're coming from, things like that. For those of you aren't familiar with it, basically I can tell what you're searching Google for to get to us, and if how much of the traffic we're getting is direct traffic, how much of it is a referring site, what those referring sites are. So let's say that you got an email through Yahoo, and you clicked on that to get to our site. We get to see that you came from a Yahoo email. From there, we also get to see geographic areas, so I can click on the world map, click on the U.S., and actually see which states are bringing us more visitors, which cities of those states are bringing us more visitors. And it does not give us IP addresses. It does not give you names. It doesn't give you anything personal. However, sometimes you can kind of combine that data and figure things out. So if I find out that a person came from a certain city, and spent a certain amount of time on my website, and then I look at the referring site and I notice that a person spent that same exact amount of time on our website and they came from a different website, I can start piecing these things together and get a quick view of the person visiting this website. So that's great for us because, you know, we get to see where our visitors are coming from. It's more of a curiosity thing, I think, than anything else. But personally, as a user, I don't like to generally give this information. So even though anonymousaudio.com really isn't using that information, we're not keeping it, not, you know, marketing with it, obviously. A lot of sites are. A lot of sites are collecting that, and you can be off that map, so to speak, and get that information taken off. So that's Google Analytics. I talked earlier about opt-out form letters, because when you click on these sites, if you decide to jump in and do this, which, by the way, if you are listening and saying, yeah, I want to start taking myself out of this, go back and listen to our previous episode, which talks about level one of finding out some information that's out there, which will help you target what you need to get removed. And then the next level, level three, we're going to get more in-depth into what information is out about you. And somebody made the comment there are millions of other tracking sites. Yeah, there's tons of them. We're going to talk about quite a few ways to get yourself taken out of the bulk of them. So we have two links to opt-out form letters, and one's a DOC, one's a PDF. And basically, you can download these documents. They're a template, and you just add in the name of the company or business, whatever that you're sending it to, and it just demands that you be taken out of the information. So if you don't want to type one up from scratch, take one of our templates we have online and add your name to it and get yourself taken out of those databases. Also, a lot of these databases will say you have to fax us. That's the only option they give you to take yourself out of the database is to send them a fax. And if you don't have a fax at home, which I don't even have a landline at home, so I don't have a fax either, FaxZero and GotFreeFax.com. Those are two free faxing services. You can create your document, upload it digitally, it'll fax it for you, and you can get that out to them. So basically, those have been some of the sites that we're going to be discussing in our 10-part series of how to get your data taken off, how to get your stuff taken out of the different databases. There are some other techniques, which these are just techniques. I don't take any responsibility for anyone using these. Be honest when you do this stuff. But if you look at some of the privacy policies of LexisNexis and ChoicePoint, deep buried in there, they'll tell you that there are certain state laws that provide that certain people can be taken out of both their public and private databases completely. These are usually police officers, judges, politicians, undercover people, confidential informants, things like that. They also open that up that if you are being harassed, maybe you have a stalker, maybe you have a an order of protection against somebody, you can also be taken out of those public and private databases. And to clarify what's public and what's private, a public database is something that probably just about anyone can get online for free or for a fee. So if you go to Spokio.com and run somebody, or 123people.com, you'll notice the many, many advertiser-supported links that want you to give them $5, $10, $15 to do a complete query for you. And that you don't have to prove anything about who you are. Anybody can have that. Those are public databases. Private databases are available pretty much to anyone that has a business. Whether you're a private investigator or a marketing company, you can make up your own business. And as long as you have a business address and business phone number that they can verify, they will sell you complete dossiers on people for maybe $11. And Steve was talking about that quite a bit last night. So a lot of officials, judges, things like that, they want out of those systems. And they have put some verbiage in place that lets you get out of those systems. So if we have any police officers listening, well, obviously it's pretty easy for you. You can just submit a letter and get out of them. Judges, politicians, hackers, it's not as easy. But let's just say theoretically that you have been harassed by someone. And let's say theoretically that you believe you may be in danger of being harmed. All you would need to do is type up an affidavit, which is just a piece of paper saying that you state the following is true, sign your name to it, have it notarized, and that might cost you a couple bucks. Have a notary basically sign it stating that they're not stating that that information is true. They're only swearing that you said it was true. So you're the one on here saying, yes, here's, I feel my life's in danger because... and then you create a letter to LexisNexis and just say that on this date, I'm filing this affidavit, and I have I possess a risk of bodily harm or death, and I've enclosed documentation which has been witnessed and notarized attesting to this information. And as per your privacy statement dated, and on my example, it's March 6th, 2006, which is posted online at LexisNexis.com/privacy/statement.aspx. Which was posted on March 2nd, 2009, I demand the removal of any and all personal information relevant to my identity as, and you put your name and address and all that on there. And basically what you're telling them is, here's my affidavit, this is true, and I want out of your private database. And could they refuse it? Absolutely. They don't have to, but here's what I believe, and what I've had other people tell me, is that these companies are so huge, making so much money on so many people. A few people that want out is just a drop in the bucket, and they don't really care because that's not going to affect their earnings overall. However, if they don't remove someone, maybe a woman that's being stalked, and her stalker finds her through their service and kills her, now they have a multi-million dollar lawsuit in their hands. So what I believe, and again, what I've been told by other sources, is that when you put in these requests, they just take you out of the system because they don't want to deal with you. And then... I may or may not be looking at a letter which was sent back by LexisNexis, which may or may not say opt-out request. Some people I've heard get letters back that say this letter acknowledges that the matching information was found and has now been removed from the non-public information databases. So possibilities are out there, you know, be honest about it. But if one of your buddies says, I want to kill you, technically you've been harassed, and you may feel a threat of harm. there are exemptions out there for confidential informants and all that. I won't get into the whole stop snitching, taking sides on that, but what defines a confidential informant? Is a confidential informant a guy that tells a random police officer that his town has a drug problem? Is that technically a confidential informant? I don't know. So that's something that people have to maybe analyze for themselves and think about what they want to do on that. So anyway, our time is starting to run up, but what I recommend is if you are going to do these techniques, focus on LexisNexis. Get out of these huge databases, because that information is going to result in nothing good for you. You're not going to get anything out of that. You're not going to benefit. These companies are going to benefit, and if they are, if they mishandle your data, that could then cause a problem for you. If they lose your data, that could cause a really big problem for you, and now you may have to worry about having your identity stolen or putting all kinds of checks on your account and things like that. So we're about out of time, but I do want to throw in a teaser for our next episode. We'll be broadcasting live again on August 6th, and that's the first Friday of the month. We always do a cast on the first Friday of every month right after our 2600 meeting in St. Louis at the Arch Reactor Hackerspace. And our next show is actually going to be a special show. Joe and I are going to go back and forth with over 120 online resources to find personal information. And this could be used in a couple ways. Obviously, if you want to find information on people, it might be a good show to pick up. If you want to find out what information's out there about yourself, an excellent show to pick up, because by having all these different links, you can do your own check, find out what's out there. And if you're going to do all this work and get your information taken off, what I recommend is check what's out there first. Do all this to take your information off and come back in a month or two and see what's out there now. And I think you'll be surprised at when you actually see an effect that you've created when you've done all this work. So anything, Joe, anything else you want to add on this?
Let's see. I think we were talking about another future episode. We haven't quite nailed it down, though. I think we're probably going to start taking a few larger companies' privacy policies, such as Google and Microsoft, and start going through them with a fine-tooth comb and see exactly what they're doing with your information. I think that should be a lot of pretty informative episode, and should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated. You know, I'll admit, I rarely read a terms of service. I'm bad about that. I won't read the terms of service. I just say okay like everyone else does. And then I find out later when someone points out, did you know this terms of service said that basically, for instance, Facebook owns all your pictures now? Well, no, I didn't read that because I didn't read the terms of service. So yeah, it's a great idea. We'll go through and look at some of the interesting parts of terms of service of various websites and companies and check that out. So in closing, a huge thanks to HOPE, the Hackers on Planet Earth. Great conference. It's held at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Also keep in mind the Hotel Pennsylvania is in danger of being torn down and an office building put up. There are some petitions online. Go to hope.net to see how you can help to make your voice heard and make sure that the Hotel Pennsylvania does not get shut down. A huge thanks to Radio Statler. Awesome for them to have us up. It's great to be part of this conference. Again, anonymousaudio.com is where you can get all of our links, listen to our episodes, stream, sign up for our feed, make sure you're getting all the latest information. You can email us anytime, show@anonymousaudio.com. Let us know if there's something we should talk about. Let us know if you found that small little nugget of information that the world needs to know about how your information is being shared. Let us know about that. We'd love to do a portion of our show on it. And if you have something to offer, we'd be happy to put you on the air and let you Skype in or something and let us know what's going on with privacy online. So anyway, thank you again to everyone. And Anonymous Audio will be back on August 6th, live from St. Louis.
Hi, this is Arco with Reyes Tyler, and I am here to bring you a slice of the convention, and in this case, it is a very specific and somewhat amber slice. So, I'm here with...
I'm Night Owl. I've been manning the Mate distribution table for something in excess of 12 hours.
Which is pretty normal for the volunteers here.
Yes, certainly it has been so far.
Yeah. So, for those of the world out there who have never heard of Club Mate, to their obvious detriment, explain what it is.
Club Mate is a... an iced tea-like soda made from the yerba mate plant. It originates in South America. It's naturally very high in caffeine. It has a slight bitter taste, but no more than, say, an unsweetened iced tea, which I actually think is probably the closest flavor I can describe it as, because it's really a unique flavor.
Yes. It's also a very caffeinated flavor.
It very much is.
Being as you're up for 12 hours is...
I've been up far longer than that. Yeah. I've just...
been in manning this one.
Yes, yes. And we have about 100 milligrams of caffeine per bottle.
Yeah.
That's a half-liter bottle. We do have to caution some people about...
caffeine poisoning.
Well, yes. We generally recommend... at an absolute maximum, no more than a bottle per hour and a half.
Yeah.
Generally, we recommend for most people that they try to keep it well below that.
So how would you be sold? I'm seeing this huge stack of empty boxes.
Well, I think when I closed up at like 4 a.m. or so, I could definitely confirm about 24 cases.
Wow.
That we had emptied and sold bottle by bottle.
And for the audience, in the time that we've been interviewing here, about four people have come up and bought it.
Yes.
So,
this is actually a slow time for us. We fully expect that, like yesterday, we'll have a time this afternoon where we just cannot cool the bottles fast enough to keep up with how many we sell.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, because it sounds like you'll need it. And this is Arco with Radio Sattler, live from the mezzanine level of hope.
Leave your scarfo to your T-box works no longer, along with the rest of the colors. Sired up free is a thing to take the place of blue boxing. Buy our card, cause it's cheap, but it's not true
Yeah.